105 UTC right after the international.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I once again have lots of Africa Cup of Nations football news from Cameroon. But first, let's go to Kenya, where President Uhuru Kenyatta and other top officials are stepping up efforts to address gender-based violence in sports. Ruben Chama reports from Nairobi.
In recent months, there has been an alarming increase of intimate partner violence, especially against sportswomen. Kenya's Cabinet Secretary for Sports, Amina Mohamed, says the government is taking measures to protect the rights and dignity of sportswomen. She says the National Cross-Country Championships, set for this coming weekend, will be used to raise awareness about gender equality in the sport.
We will use the cross-country championship as a platform to sensitize the public and sports stakeholders on the need to embrace gender equity in sports. And we have said, with the direction of His Excellency the President, that resources will not be availed if it's lopsided, if it's skewed for no reason, and then we won't be able to provide you with the support that you need.
Addressing a gathering of the sporting fraternity virtually this week, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta gave details of the magnitude of the problem.
Gender-based violence is a global challenge that affects our families and also our societies. It impacts on the mental, physical, and emotional well-being of our mothers, our sisters, and our daughters.
The United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA, says at least 45% of women in Kenya in the 15 to 49 age bracket have experienced physical or sexual violence from an intimate partner. At a meeting held in the coastal town of Diani, sports ministry officials received a report on domestic violence and discrimination in sports from a committee chaired by two-time world marathon champion Catherine Dereba. Dereba, who is also a four-time Boston Marathon winner, shed tears as she narrated the ordeals that some young female athletes endured from their perpetrators.
There have been unwarranted brokers who, under the guise of marriage, taken advantage of naive athletes. The recent death of Agnes Tirop, a celebrated top athlete, has reminded us of the need for collaboration between relevant stakeholders to mitigate gender-based violence.
The late Tirop was one of Kenya's best female distance runners. The Olympian was found murdered last October at her home in Iten, Elgeyo Marakwet County. Her husband, Ibrahim Rotich, has since been arrested and charged in court in connection with a brutal killing. The runner's death was the latest in a string of violent attacks against women in Kenya. Paul Terget is the president of the National Olympic Committee of Kenya.
80% or even 90% of our sportsmen and women across all the sports lack moral values. Moral values actually are the values which can guide them when they get out of their doors and move away.
Meanwhile, the family of the slain Olympian, Agnes Tirop, and some of Kenya's elite female athletes founded an organization called Tirop's Angels to bring awareness about gender-based violence. They say the time has come to address the problem once and for all. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Ruben Chama in Nairobi, Kenya.
Thanks, Ruben. Now let's go to Cameroon, where Samson Omale joins us once again with another spicy update from the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny.
Here we go, then. It is Guinea-Bissau up against Nigeria. Nigeria already qualified with some fine football that they played already. Iheanacho. Iheanacho with a far post. It's in the back of the net. Nigeria have scored that goal. And there are the celebrations. Oresti, Nekwabwan, and Sadiq has managed to find the goal. That elusive goal for the Super Eagles. Look at this. This is sensational. It's in the back of the net. But the shot. Oh, my word. The final whistle. And there it is. It's confirmation that the Super Eagles are looking very strong indeed.
That was how Nigeria wrapped up their Group D campaign at the African Cup of Nations with a 2-0 win over Guinea-Bissau at the Romdi Aija Stadium in Gara on Wednesday night to become the only team in the competition to win all three group games. The result, secured by second-half goals from Umar Sadiq and William Troost Ekong, sees the Super Eagles top the group with a full haul of three wins, the only team in the competition to do so, and underline their status as one of the outright favourites for the title. Troost Ekong speaks of the Super Eagles side as a focused team, taking each game at a time.
The best thing about it is that the boys did very well today. There was 8 changes in the team, and I think we still look like we're a fantastic team. I think that's a massive credit to the coaching staff for trusting the players, and also for the boys who stepped in to show themselves. I try to contribute every game, and I try to do my best every game, and sometimes it goes your way, and today I think I had a little bit of luck as well here and there, so I'm very happy. I trust my teammates trust me, the coaching staff trust all the players, and then it's up to us to pay it back. And same preparation like usual. Some of the players managed to get a rest to play 2 difficult games in 6 days. And I think the boys who came in were fresh, and I think this is what you want from a team. You want to be able to, everybody wants to show themselves, and I think there were some great performances in there as well today. I mean, we've all come mid-season, left our families behind, working very hard, not to joke around. So I'm here, I want to win the tournament. The last time I was here in Egypt, then we managed to get the bronze, and we missed out to the final, and I think that was upsetting for all of us. And this time we want to do better, but it's still a long way to go. And the only thing that we can guarantee is our effort and trying to put in performances. And the rest you can't guarantee results, so I can't tell you that we're going to go to the final now. But there's only one thing we can do is make sure that we, every time we step on the pitch, that we're proud of ourselves. And I think we've done that 3 times now.
Everton striker Alex Iwobi, who had his first start at the competition, said the transformation in the team is as a result of the unity and understanding between the players and the coaches.
At the end of the day, I wasn't even starting, so my main concern is trying to get myself back in the team. Goals will come. I just wanted to make sure I'm putting a point out to the coach that I'm ready whenever. But the main thing for me is that the team's doing well. We have one goal, and that's what I'm focused on. The team right now is like one big family. Like, we're all fighting for each other. It shows on the pitch and it shows off the pitch. We're ready to work for each other. We're always talking, always trying to improve. So we won't just rest on this game. We'll have to prepare for the next game and see how far we can go.
Coach Austin Iwavan speaks on the team's performance so far.
You know, I think we've been enjoying a whole lot of support and prayers from our country, and we urge them to please continue. It has really helped. We know what football means to us. We know how passionate we are back home, and the boys are ready to do the job.
Talking to the players, they say, look, they are one big family, you know, and all of that. Is that part of the driving force for the success that you've had so far?
It has to be. It has to be, because I've always told them, in the game, it's not going to ever be perfect in 90 minutes. There will be ups and downs, but ability to bring it together, you know, forget about the mistake, be your brother's keeper, I think is working for us. We don't ever expect a perfect game, you know, even in your home, your quarrel. Even my backroom staff was focused afternoon. I told them, listen, they've done well, but feel free to always open your mind, because we have a set goal as a target. And don't bottle up anything. You know, there will always be disagreement, but at the end of the day, we'll come out with a resolution. And that happened this afternoon. So it means we are united.
The African Wild Dogs, as the Guinea-Bissau side is popularly known, finished bottom of the log and have been eliminated from the African Cup of Nations. Nigeria, as Group D winners, will face a third-place team from Group B, E or F in the round of 16 clash set for Garoua on Sunday, the 23rd of January. In the other Group D game, Egypt secured a last 16 berth at the African Cup of Nations after they defeated old rival Sudan 1-0 at the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium in Yaoundé, also on Wednesday night. Ferris defender Mohamed Abdoumoumen scored the only goal of the game, seeing his side finish as runners-up in Group D behind Nigeria and advance into the knockout phase of the competition. Coach Carlos Queiroz of Egypt after the match said they need to work on their finishing in order for them to convert many of the chances they create.
I think after the first game, we rebound from a losing result with good character. This is the difference between losers and winners. The players, they show that after 4 days, despite all the pressure, they come back strong, they play football, and we just need to score more goals. Only to play good football is not enough. We need to build up more goals and with that, be more relaxed in the game.
Meanwhile, Egypt as Group D runners-up will face the winners of Group E in the round of 16 clash set for the Japoma Stadium in Douala on Wednesday, the 26th of January. There are 4 matches slated for Thursday in Group E and F ahead of the conclusion of the group stage. Tunisia have been hit by a COVID-19 outbreak in their camp at the Africa Cup of Nations and could have as many as 7 players unavailable for their last group game against Gambia on Thursday. Tunisia, who have 3 points from their opening 2 games, will be seeking at least 1 more point to make sure they qualify for the last 16. Tunisia midfielder Anis Ben Slimani speaks of the COVID situation in camp.
They are doing everything that we can to avoid the COVID-19. We are secured. We use the mask. We do every protocol that we have to do. But as you know, as everyone know, it can happen. You can sit in your room alone, and you can be sick with COVID-19. But of course, we do everything, and we take care of ourselves and our health. And I think it's like I don't think there's no player who will sit in the hotel and can play the game. Everyone wants to play. We are here to represent Tunisia and to make Tunisian people proud and happy. And then you have to take care of yourself. So of course we do everything we can to avoid the COVID-19.
African Cup of Nations debutant Gambia will be looking to secure top spot in Group F when they take on Tunisia at the Limbe Stadium. Tom Sinfield's side are in pole position and tied with Mali going into their final group match after picking up 4 points from their opening 2 outings. The Scorpions kicked off the campaign in Cameroon with a 1-0 victory over Mauritania on the 12th of January, courtesy of a sensation strike by Abli Jallo before a late penalty from Moussa Barrow clinched a 1-1 draw with Mali 4 days later. In Group F, Mali will face off with their neighbors Mauritania at the Stade Omnisports de Douala in Cameroon. The Eagles kept their hopes of progressing to the knockout phase on track when they collected a point from their 1-1 draw against the Gambia in their second Group F match on Sunday. Mali are placed second on the group standings, level on points with leaders Gambia, who are only on top on alphabetical order as the two teams have an identical record, 2 goals scored and 1 conceded by both sides. Defending champions Algeria met Cote d'Ivoire in the early kickoff today, knowing that only a victory will ensure their progress to the second round. Riyad Mahrez, just before the game, spoke of the North Africa's readiness for the challenge.
If you're not motivated in this situation, when you will be then? So we're in a situation that we have to win. We have to win. But we didn't lose for 35 games before the last one. So we are ready, we are prepared to give our best.
That's Algeria's team captain Riyad Mahrez speaking in Douala, Cameroon. And thanks to Samson Omale for another extra spicy package of Africa Cup of Nations football news.
Sporting greetings. This is William Chosekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Sides of Sports on the Voice of America.
The three-time African champion Super Eagles of Nigeria were the only team to finish the group stage of the Africa Cup of Nations tournament with three wins and the maximum 9 points. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Garowa, Cameroon, where he reached the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
Impressive. Exceptional. One can easily run out of adjectives to describe this Nigerian team that has confounded the whole of Africa in this tournament going on in Cameroon. Coming into this tournament, there were fears by the Nigerian fans and across the world, across the globe, concerning this team. But I want to believe this team has successfully allayed all these fears with their impressive displays. They've combined exuberance with determination, with freedom and panache with the way they've taken all their opponents to cleaners, from the Pharaohs of Egypt in the first game to the Sudanese national team and now to Guinea-Bissau, who are one of the teams that I've seen with lots of power and pace in this competition. The Super Eagles have shown that they are class above every other opposition. Will they continue in this stead? Will they keep their feet firmly on the pedal? These are questions that remain to be answered, but one cannot deny the fact that this crop of Nigerian players have totally overwhelmed their opponents, and they have been a joy to watch, not only for Nigerians, but neutrals that have been watching this competition right from the start. We do hope that they keep it up, because they are the only team to have claimed all 9 points from their group, and despite making up to 8 changes to the starting lineup, they were unplayable on the night. And we wait to see who comes in front of them in the round of 16 and going forward, but based on what we've seen in the first 3 games, these Eagles are truly super.
The Pharaohs of Egypt also qualified for the round of 16. Did you expect any different result from their game?
I am not surprised that the Pharaohs of Egypt eventually got a qualification spot, despite losing their first game to Nigeria. We all saw how brilliant the Eagles were against them, and they stood no chance at all. And they were able to dig deep to secure that win against Guinea-Bissau, and at that point I knew they had claimed the most important 3 points of this competition for them. Sudan, being a team in transition, new coach, new set of players, you will expect them to struggle. They barely managed to get a point against Guinea-Bissau in the first game. They were unlucky, I felt, and against Nigeria they were totally torn apart by the Super Eagles. Against Egypt, I think it's good for them to have made it respectable, losing by just a lone goal. But congratulations to Egypt. They have another chance to fight in the round of 16. They have another chance to really stake a claim to this trophy, because Mohamed Salah, having never won a trophy for his national team, he really has set his sight on this, and we'll be hoping that the Pharaohs can hit top gear from this time forth.
Fisayo, you've been in Cameroon since this 33rd African Cup of Nations tournament kicked off. Which teams, in your opinion, have been the biggest surprise packages?
The Flames of Malawi and Nzalang National of Equatorial Guinea are, for me, the biggest surprise packages in this competition so far. And both teams, interestingly, have something in common. They lost their opening games by the odd scoreline. Malawi were beaten by Guinea 1-0 in their first group game, but they have successfully bounced back to claim 4 points off Zimbabwe and get through the beaten finalist in the last edition, the Teranga Lions of Senegal. So that shows a mark of a team determined and resolute in achieving success. The Flames of Malawi, hats off to them, safely through to the round of 16. And then we come to Equatorial Guinea. Yes, I expected a little bit of good things from them coming into this competition. But having lost the first game against Cote d'Ivoire, I never saw that win over Algeria coming. That particular win, which ended the Fennec Foxes' 35-game unbeaten run since 2019, will surely go into the annals of history and will be talked about for years to come in Africa. And now they have done themselves proud, they've done their country proud. Just one more point in the final group game, and they will be through into the next round of the Africa Cup of Nations. So these two teams have been very good to watch. They've been the story of the tournament, because in Africa, it's a continent where the minnows never say die. They never roll over to allow the so-called big guns to overrun them. Now, these two teams will also be some sort of motivation for other so-called minnows in African football in the years to come. Let me not also forget to mention Comoros Island, who defeated Ghana here in Garoua on Tuesday night. Maybe it may not be sufficient enough to qualify them for the next round, but they will go back home, hold their heads high, and be proud that they have shocked the whole of Africa.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Garoua, Cameroon.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, an update on Africa. What is the status of talks to de-escalate and end the civil war in Ethiopia? Can the West exert sufficient pressure on Sudan's military to return to a democratic transition? And how can the AU and regional states effectively combat and suppress the uptick in terrorism in the Sahel? That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Craig Gabriel joins us now from Melbourne with a day 4 update at the Australian Open.
Daniil Medvedev is the best player in the world right now. Well, you don't have to believe me. It was said by Nick Kyrgios, who played him and lost to him in 4 sets, 7-6, 6-4, 4-6, 6-2. Kyrgios was in his entertaining frame of mind, but you could see he was also meaning business, and he gave Medvedev a stern test as the crowd got involved. Kyrgios said he will take plenty of good points away.
You know, I was embracing. You know, I could obviously feel the match was coming to an end, so I was, you know, looking around and just embracing every little moment, every little light in that stadium. It's special, you know, because I remember when I was a young kid, that was a court that I remember watching a lot of tennis matches on, and one day I thought that I was going to be there and entertaining millions of people, and it became reality. So it was a special moment for me tonight. But yeah, it was obviously, you know, a lot rowdier than it usually is on Rod Laver, and I think, as I've said it many times before, I think the people of Australia needed this a lot.
Medvedev said it was a good early match for him at this Australian Open.
I think really important, because I can say it's definitely an unlucky draw, like a tough draw. It's like a big challenge where if you make it, you feel like, okay, well, if I continue playing like this, I can go far.
Andy Murray and Emma Raducanu were dismissed. Murray by Japan's Taro Daniel, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. And Raducanu, who's suffering with blisters on her playing hand, lost to Danka Kovanic, 6-4, 4-6, 6-3.
From day 1, day 2, I was getting blisters pop up here and there. But this particular one has been with me for about 5 days. And I've been trying to, like, tape it for every practice. And it would like, harden and dry out. But then once I would play again, like, another layer would just keep ripping off. So it ended up being pretty deep, but I mean, it's a bit annoying because I know it's something that will heal in like a few days, but it's just unfortunate timing.
There were some big upsets. Third seed Garbine Muguruza was beaten by the tricky French player Elise Cornet, 6-3, 6-3. That was the first match on the Rod Laver Arena. Sixth seed Annette Kontaveit also was beaten. Aussie Sam Stosur lost to Anastasia Pavluchenkova, and it was Sammy's last singles match. But on the positive side, there were wins for Iga Swiatek, Jannik Sinner and Simona Halep. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Hello,
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. Right now, lots of Africa Cup of Nations football updates on those social media platforms. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
The Ladies Professional Golf Association season tees off on this Thursday in the southern U.S. city of Orlando, Florida. And joining us now with a preview from Orlando is George McNeely.
The LPGA season opens this week here in Orlando with a celebrity event, just as it has since 2019. Well, sort of. Back then, Diamond Resorts and the tour introduced a tournament of champions. South Korea's Eun Hee Ji won the inaugural event. Gabby Lopez of Mexico City took top prize in 2020. And last year, Jessica Korda of South Florida was the winner. Since then, the event has been rebranded to the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions after last year's acquisition by Hilton of Diamond Resorts. In addition, Korda and many of the world's best will compete on a new layout, as this season opener has moved from the Four Seasons owned course to the east side of Orlando and the Lake Nona Country Club.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to be able to move forward. Like, that's the whole point, right? We want to keep moving forward and keep pushing women's golf forward. So this is just another step that kind of the tour is taking alongside their sponsors. So I'll play anywhere. Just give me a chance. I just want to play.
Last year's winner, Jessica Korda, while her sister, world number one and Olympic champion Nellie Korda, leads the elite field limited to LPGA Tour winners from only the last two seasons, like Gabby Lopez, vying for the champion share of a $1.5 million prize purse on Sunday.
This golf course is such a championship golf course that I think is going to demand every single part of our game. Off the tee is a huge challenge, even for us. I think it's a, you know, we got a couple narrow tees, and especially for the celebrities, that they like to hit bombs all over the place, and I think it's going to be quite a challenge. I think, you know, the women are going to have a bigger chance, in my opinion, for this tournament. So whoever hits it straight, this is probably going to have the biggest chance.
As Gabby mentioned, players are paired with celebrities from the sports and entertainment world over the next 4 days. And the 28-year-old, entering her seventh season on tour, says that makes for a very unique experience.
It's a very special event, and that's probably why I love it so much, because I can learn so much from, even from the great Annika, till Marcus Allen, from Roger Clemens, so many celebrities, and they all have the same thing in common, and it's the mental toughness, right? So I think the mental toughness and being able to accept and being able to visualize and being able to imagine all those part of their games is what it just makes the whole thing one. And to me, being able to keep learning from them, it's huge.
Gabby referenced 50-year-old Hall of Famer Annika Sorenstam, who won last year's U.S. Women's Senior Open by an 8-shot margin, but opted to play in the celebrity bracket and serve as tournament host on her home course here at Lake Nona. I asked Annika if she has mixed emotions not vying for the title this week.
You know, it's a good question, and I have to admit, I mean, those are thoughts that go through my mind quite a bit. I'm lucky to be able to wear a lot of different hats, you know, being a mom and being a wife and being an entrepreneur and a philanthropist. And then now I'm putting on my host hat and my, you know, competing hats.
I'm George McNeely for the Sunny Side of Sports in Orlando.
Thanks, George. And that wraps up the January 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.